We started at quarter after, didn't we? So we're about through here. They're topically arranged. These verses were the verses handed to me when I went in the army in 1941. They're the verses that have been handed to people by the hundreds of thousands all over the world. What they do, friend, is give us a foundation for our witness, a good foundation for our witness. You have the topic, man is sinful, sin has a penalty. Christ paid the penalty, salvation's a free gift. Christ is at the door, we must receive him. These are topics to sort of help you, guide you from one point to another and to help you. And I like to think of them as a skeleton upon which you put the meat of your testimony. You remember the blind man in John 9? Jesus came along with his disciples. I think our our time is up, so let's end with that, and I'll tell you the story about the blind man in a moment and how I'd like to relate it to this particular part of the lesson. So the time is up. Thank you. Take a break. So let's start. Heavenly Father, as we begin this session now, we again would honor you, pray that the Holy Spirit will be the teacher, that you will, Father, open our eyes to some truth at this time that will help us see more clearly where we're going, what we're doing, and how to do it better. And just bless us with your presence. May we just hear your voice continually. This is the way, walk in it. Warm our hearts as you warm those who walked on the road to Emmaus with Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now we're on the memory card stock down here, if you will. Right up in the front of the book. Right up front of the book, the memory. And I was telling you about the fact that these verses can be just a skeleton upon which we put the meat of our testimony. Now, I mentioned this blind boy that was born blind, and if you read the chapter 9, the disciples asked Jesus, was it because of the sin of his mother or the sin of the boy? And Jesus said, neither. It's that the power of God might be manifest. And so he spit in the clay, the Bible says, and rubbed the boy's eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He did. He came seeing, shouting. And everybody said, hey, this is the blind boy. Now you can see. Who did it? He said, a man called Jesus. And the Pharisees came along. It's this Sunday. The man's a sinner. And so the Pharisees asked the boy, who did this? He said, Jesus. And he said, where do you live? So he took him home to his parents and he said, this your boy? Yes, our boy. Was he born blind? He was born blind. How does he see now? He said, I have no idea. Ask him. He's of age. So he said to the boy again, how do you see? I told you, a man called Jesus spit in the clay and rubbed my eyes, and I washed and I see. And the Pharisee said, well, he's a sinner. And this is what the boy said. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, wherein I was blind, now I what? See, no one can refute what God has done in your life. They may say, well, the Bible is full of errors. The Bible is, you know, this or that or the other thing. But no one can say. They either call you a liar or they have to accept what you say. So your testimony has a lot to do, really, with what how, in your witness. Now, the verses, we do two a week with the ones that are memorizing. And we start with man is sinful. We memorize the topic, the verse, and the reference in each case. In the first case, it's man is sinful, Romans 3:23, and then we say the verse and then the reference again. We want to fix the reference in the minds of everyone that's memorizing so that they'll be able to turn to it when they need it. So let's say the topic, the reference, and the verse together out loud, beginning with man is sinful. Man is sinful. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, the second is sin has a penalty altogether. Sin has a penalty, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. Two basic fundamental verses on why we need salvation. The next two tell us the good news that Christ paid the penalty and salvation's free. And then how we come into the family of God. Christ stands knocking and we must receive him. So we're going to memorize these verses. That's what we've done now through the years with different people, giving them a good foundation. And then we give them other material to help them in the counseling when they get down in front of the platform. Now, looking at that Romans 6:23 again, let me tell you, how many of you ever heard of the EE, Evangelism Explosion? You've heard of it? This is one of their, Romans 6:23 is one of their favorite witnessing verses. For example, you know somebody, you've known them a long time, you feel comfortable with them, and you say to John or to Mark or to Daniel or David or Yoko, Yoko, have you ever received the gift of God? Say that we know each other a long time, we work together. Have you ever received the gift of God? And Yoko might say, gift of God? I never heard of it. What is it? Well, Yoko, right here, and I'm going to show you, it says the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, boy, you mean forever? That's right, forever with God. Wow. How do I get it? It's in through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, friends, I realize that that's very simplistic. But E.E. has been using that all around the world for years and getting great results. It doesn't mean that everybody go up to say, hey, do you know the gift of God? No. What is it? Eternal life? Oh, how do I get it? Through Jesus Christ? You running? Not at all. I'm not telling you that it's just like that. But it may be one thing you could do. You know, Moody, you've heard of Moody, the great evangelist of old. They say that he was a little bit awkward sometime in his speaking. I don't know. I wasn't living at that time. But I'll tell you this, he had the fire of God. And he was teaching a class on witnessing one time, and a man said, I don't like your method of witnessing. And Moody said, well, tell me yours. He said, well, I don't have one. Well, Moody said, I like mine better. So don't kick it. Don't knock it. If you got a better one, we'd like to know about it, okay? We're always learning, truly. So by Monday, why don't you take these verses? We suggest you tear them out of there. They're perforated. Carry them with you. I've had a lot of fun with these, letting people. What I like to do sometimes is let someone check my verses for me. Would you see, I've got to get these verses word perfectly. Would you mind checking them for me? In other words, I've got to get the topic, I've got to get the reference, and I got to give the verse. Now, they're holding the verse, and man is sinful. Romans 3:23, they're watching it for him, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let me say that again, and then try it again. And now, the next one's a little tougher. Sin has a penalty. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. I was a sergeant in the army, so I had three stripes, you know, and I used to let the guys in the barracks hold my verses. And I'll never forget a big Irishman from Binghamton, New York. I was at this point on Mark 8:36. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I'm reviewing verses, and I came to that one, and standing right in the middle of the barracks. And I went over it, and Thayer is looking at that very carefully. And for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so let me go with that again. So help me when I'm finished. This is what Bill Thayer said. Sergeant, he says, Sarge, what does that mean? And I said, Bill, sit down and I'll tell you. He had asked for it, didn't he? Yeah. And so try it out. I encourage people to do this. In fact, I've had people come back to second class and say, Mr. Riggs, I did exactly what you told me. In fact, I took your book to the hospital, a nurse, and I had six different people at times helping me with my homework. A Roman Catholic lady told me, I took your verses and I went home that night, and we got out the Catholic Douay version, and we were comparing them together. Another lady in Philadelphia said, I was riding down to work on the bus in the morning, and I gave the verses to the lady next to me, and I said, check me on it. Another young man working with hard hats in construction said, Charlie, I took those verses to work, and I've been witnessing all week with them. Now, everyone won't do that, but, you know, if you can get people to step out a little bit and put their faith to work, that's exactly what we're trying to get them to do, isn't it? So, you notice then, we get to two verses, and then next week it's Christ paid the penalty, good news that Christ died for us, and then the next verse, salvation's a free gift, and then Christ at the door knocking, and we must receive him. So by Monday, over the weekend, if you can think of it, take the verses with you and memorize them. And you know what I'm hoping, and I'm gonna have enough of this material to give all of you at least another copy of everything. I'm hoping that you'll want maybe some of you to take the material right away. If you feel it's something you can use, and say, hey, I'm going to start using this right away. And see the blessing of it, okay? All right, now we come back to that illustration then. We got one more. We got the thumb to go. And that is the thumb of meditation. Meditation, page 5. The verse is Joshua 1:8.
Put it a little higher.
Yeah, I can't see. Thanks. Is that all right? Is that good enough?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me when.
Okay.
Oh, you got it? You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Meditation. All right. This, read it with me across page 5, last one on the page. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, if that verse is true, I would certainly want to pay some attention to it. Anyone wants to be prosperous and successful. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have $1 million tomorrow at all. There's much more. I like 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You don't have to have a lot of money to be rich, do you? We are rich in Jesus Christ and all the peace and joy and the fulfillment and assurance that he gives us. And remember, we're laying up our treasures in heaven, right? Where moth and rust cannot corrupt. Now, obviously, it says meditate on it day and night. Doesn't mean you're going to carry this book around with you downtown. You get run over by a car and people look at you like a dumb dodo. Doesn't mean that at all, does it? What I think it means, or maybe you can tell me what you think it means, but what to me is what it means is let the book play a real part in our daily life and conduct. Let it speak to us. Let it touch our lives. Let it change our life. Let it be an authority in our life. It's God speaking to me, the living God. And when it is, friends, then we begin to sense the presence of God in a very real way. Now, that's the outline. And someone, you know, Gene gave you, the other day, gave you what he thought were an illustration of meditation, the cow chewing on his what? Cud. You know, in Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And What the prophet did, as I said the other day, didn't take a page out of the scripture and chew on it, but thy words were rung to me, the joy. I did eat them. I chewed on them. I mused on them. What was the word Gene used? Ruminated on them. And as a result of it, he got what God was saying and got it into his activity. And I'm going to show you now in a moment how truth becomes a part of our life. But I picked this up some time ago for whatever it may be worth. Yoko, you may have to stand up to see it all. I want it to be up here completely. But this is what the Bethel Laboratory teaches on retention of material. The lecture brings 5% retention. Reading, 10%. Audiovisual, 20%. Demonstration, 30%, where you can get a good, vivid demonstration. At least something in the eye as well as in the ear. And then discussion, 50%. There's something about taking time to discuss what you're talking about. I think you can hear it from different voices and from different angles and pick up a lot more through just plain discussing it. And then practically practice by doing. Practice by doing. And you're going to practice by doing on these verses Monday. We'll memorize them, and we'll have 100% of them if we memorize them. Practice by doing. And then, finally, teach others immediately use of learning. Immediate use of learning. And that's why I'd like to give all of you another copy of everything that I'm going to give you to the end that you might share it with someone and immediately begin to have a ministry with someone else. Have you got them all now? Write them down. Lecture 5%, reading 10%, audiovisual 20%, demonstration 30%, discussion 50%, practice by doing 75%, and then teach others immediate use of learning. You all have it down now? Frederick, you got it all down? Ellen, you have it all down now? Everyone have it? Roger? Which one? The last one is 90%. 90%. And so, you got it all, have it now, do you? All right. Now, in the, we're back to the hand again. In the middle of your hand, I want you to, can I erase this off here? Was this something Gene was using? Is it, I guess it's all right to erase it, isn't it? Is it? Now, in the middle of your hand, right where you have the open palm, don't write too big because I'm going to have you put a couple of things in there, but I want you to put down applying truth. Applying truth. And then I want you to write the word so and the word reap. I picked this up some years ago in New Jersey at a conference center. It was on over the platform, this outline, and I thought it was very good. So you sow a thought. I'm just going to abbreviate thought, but T-H-O-T, thought. You sow a thought and you reap an act. You sow a thought on honesty, reap an act of honesty. You sow a thought that's sensual and you could very well reap an act that's sensual. Your predominant thought governs your immediate action. You get something in your mind strong enough. Drugs, alcohol, whatever, it's not long before you're going to where you can get satisfied. It's amazing, this mind over matter. It governs us. So you sow a thought, you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow an honest thought, you reap an act. You sow an honest act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, and you reap a character. And so you're known by your character. It all begins, which we're feeding in up here. you feed devilishness in there, you're going to turn up with a devilish character. You sow something that has to do with honesty, character, purity, and so on. Your character is going to be one of honesty or purity. You understand? Sow a character you reap a destiny. You reap a destiny. What you're putting in your mind today is going to determine very largely where you're going to be 6 months or a year from now. Right? You get a lot of good things in there, especially things from the good book and good knowledge of the Holy Spirit and good information about prayer and begin sowing daily. This type of a life is going to take you a long way toward being a person of God that God is going to use mightily in the days ahead. Any thoughts about this or any questions about this? Anything? Does it make sense?
I think that helps understand the process of mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You read the word and then what does it do?
I'm going to share with you now what I call plumb lines or plumb bobs. In other words, this is now we're going to take four truths along this line of sowing a thought, reaping an act. And then sowing the act, reaping a habit. Some time ago I was reading in, you ever hear of Arthur Pink, one of the writers of books, Pink. He wrote a book on John. And the first chapter talked about Jesus being the true light that lights up the life of every man. You remember, you're familiar with the passage, John 1. He said, Jesus was like a plumb line or a plumb bob. And he said, we need to line up our lives alongside of Jesus to see how we measure up. But he said, since he's not here today, we have to take the rod, the canon, of the rule of the word and let the word of God be the plumb line. How many of you know what a plumb line is? Few of you do. Well, look up Amos 7:7, two or three of you. I don't know if you all have the same version of the Bible. Amos 7:7. Amos 7:7. Who's got it? Read it for me.
He showed me, behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand.
Okay, what version is that?
RSV.
RSV. Anyone else having another version? Yes, sir.
This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built through the plumb, with a plumb line in his hand.
Here's the King James. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. In a few days, I'm going to give you this book right here that's going to outline this more, but this is an artist who was a brand new boy in Minneapolis, never did any artwork before, but he put the art in this little book, Practicing His Presence. And I thought that was pretty good. He's got the Bible. You see the line coming down? In other words, he's lining his life up with the Bible. A plumb line, in reality, is used for straightening up structures or making sure your wall is straight. You hang a line perpendicular with a string with a weight on the bottom, and that line hangs perfectly perpendicular, right? And you can see if you're out of line. Well, when I read this, I began to think about it. And I found, look at this verse in Psalm 119:59-60. So would some of you open up to that passage? Psalm 119:59-60. Psalm 119:59-60. Who's got it? Okay.
When I think of thy ways, I turn my feet to thy testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep thy commandments.
All right, you said that was RSV. Who has it in another? What do you have, Yoko?
Yeah. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands.
All right. That's the King James, very similar. I thought on my ways. Then I turned my feet unto thy statutes. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. So here's the plumb line, right here. This could be a plumb line on a verse on honesty. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's 2 Corinthians. Ooh, can you read it? Someone said, Rick, you're a doctor, all right. I can't even read your writing. 2 Corinthians 4:2. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So I'm hanging the plumb line of honesty by my life, the verse. I thought on my ways. Ooh. Boy, I don't follow that very closely. I lie. I can be very deceitful, cheat a little bit. Man, I think about things that I've said, things that I've done that was dishonest. Think on my ways, and I turn my feet into thy testimonies. I make haste and I delay not to keep thy commandments. So as I meditate on that good verse, sow the thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. So a habit, reap a character. So a character, reap a destiny. So as I think on this verse, slow but sure, if I obey it, I'm going to be becoming a man who is more trustworthy and honest in his daily deportment. You can trust me. I believe honesty is one of the most important characteristics of the Christian life. It's important because it keeps me in tune with God. If I am dishonest, I grieve the Spirit and I'm on my own. It's important because, Yaakov, if you can't trust me, you're not going to listen to me, are you?
No way.
No way. It's important in my relationship with my family, in business relationships, that I be an honest man. They used to say, shake hands, you're a man of your word. And that's all they needed to do, wasn't it, William? I take your word for it. I didn't have contracts or lawyers. I believe you're a man of your word, and I take you at your word.
Yeah, 50 years ago.
But today, who can you trust? I tell you one thing, you're not going to be much of a teacher or preacher in Christian work unless your students believe in what you're saying, trust you. And I'm going to show you another illustration on that tomorrow or on Monday that has to do with that very subject. And so, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste, and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. This is the plumb line hanging down the scripture. Now, this could apply to truth throughout the Bible. I'm going to give you 4 that I think have a lot to do with every Christian life and walk. And the first 4 that I took, we haven't got time to go any money more than that, but I'll give you the principle. The first one I took was honesty. And that was 2 Corinthians 4:2. Memorized it. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. By living an honest life, I commend Jesus Christ to others. If they see me a man you can't trust, a loose man, a dishonest man, a greedy man, I'm not going to have much of a ministry, am I, William? Not at all. So I want to be a man that people can trust. Sow a thought on honesty, you reap an act, and so on. Second one was purity. That's 1 Timothy 5:22b. Be part of it. The first part says, lay hands on no man suddenly, neither be partaker of other men's sins. The B part says, keep thyself pure. I realized how easy it would be for me, away from home in the army, to go down the wrong path. I realized how easy it would be for me and Billy Graham work. I'm away from home. I've been away from home sometimes 6 months without seeing my family. When we went to England in 1954, I said goodbye to my family, took a boat, went to England between Christmas and New Year's, 53, and never got home till the end of June, 54. You know, you don't go back and forth across the two. Now, jets make it a little easier now, but we didn't have a lot of money to do it, and so on. I was away. Well, I'll tell you what, friends, we're all human, right? And it's awful easy to get involved sensually. Too many people today are put off on the shelf because of impurity. I'll never forget, I was out in California with one of our team. He's kind of a joker. And he came out. I was staying there for some time working there, and he came out to do something special. And we went to breakfast one morning, and a beautiful little girl by the name of Goldie, she had Goldie on her badge, came over and took his order. And he said to the girl, you know who this guy is? He's a Texas oil man. He's got more oil wells than Heinz has pickles. So she comes over to get my order, and she comes squeezing right over to me and touched me. You know, the shivers could go up and down. She's a beautiful blonde girl. Wow, I moved away. Next morning, he's gone. So I come down, and she says, well, honey, what are you going to have today? And the next day, same thing. And the next day, she's telling me about how hard it was, you know, to have a family without a father. Wow. This verse came flashing on. Boy, I couldn't wait to get down. I said, Goldie, you know who I am? I'm a minister. I work with Billy Graham. I have a beautiful wife and 3 children. Well, that ended that messing around. She again respected me. It's awful easy to get on the wrong path, trail. But I pray to God, and I've done this for years and years, that I'll be pure for Jesus' sake, pure for my family's sake, pure for the work's sake, the gospel's sake. I want to be a soldier in the front lines, working for God and helping others come to know Him. And I sure don't want to go down the wrong path. Another plumb bob on humility. Proverbs 13, verse 10, says this, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. One of the great problems that we'll have in our life, all of us, is the problem of pride. How many of you would honestly join me and say it's one of your biggest problems, pride? Only by pride cometh contention. You know, you don't read in the Bible very much about what God hates. But I'll tell you something, He hates pride. Proverbs 6:16 says, these 6 things does the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto Him. You know number 1 on His list? Pride. Proud look. And I believe, you know why? You know, in Isaiah 14, the 5 I will were Lucifer said, I will exalt myself against the throne of God. He starts out by that passage by saying, how art thou, Lucifer, cast down from heaven? This Lucifer wanted to be above God. Pride. And I think that's one of the reasons that God hates it so much. We'll talk more perhaps about it, but James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, and he gives grace unto the humble. I don't want God, William, to be resisting my life, putting roadblocks. Life is hard enough without that, isn't it? I'd like his help in my daily life, not roadblocks. But only by pride comes contention. I want my way. I want to be a big shot. I thank God, Billy Graham, I've heard him say this over and over again, but one of the first things I heard him say years ago, when I reach up and try to touch any of the glory of God, I'm finished. I am finished. It's to God be the glory, great things he has done. And so, pride. Then, tongue. Any of you have any trouble with your tongue? Proverbs 10:19. That's a 9. I had an awful problem with my tongue. You know, the more I memorized Scripture, the smarter I thought it was. And I remember in chapel, for example, we'd have speakers in our university or college at that time. And I, every time he was through, I said, boy, he didn't hit it at all. And I'd sit down with George and we'd discuss the preacher, the guy that spoke that day. And God began to convict me. I did a study on the tongue. And if you ever want to do a good study, friends, take your Bible, Proverbs, get a big pad of paper, and list anything that has to do with communication. Lips, mouth, speak, tongue, answer. That's enough right there. And read it. You'll find 100 verses that speak about this tongue of ours. There is, it speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Do you want the tongue that speaks like the piercing of the sword, or do you want a tongue that heals? He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he shutteth his mouth, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a person of understanding. The more you talk, a lot of the time, the more you show your ignorance. The less you talk, boy, that person's deep. You know, ooh. This verse says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. I took that verse 40 years ago among my plumb bobs here, and I've asked God to help me measure my words. And I have to confess that I let some out sometimes. They're not right. But I tell you what, you sow a thought, and you reap an act. You sow an act, and you reap a habit. You sow a habit, and you reap a character. You sow a character, and you reap a destiny. If I want to build my bottle up, my body up, muscular, I need to do exercises. I call these spiritual exercises. I call them, you know, press-ups or push-ups. You call them here press-ups or push-ups. These are spiritual push-ups. And try a few of them to get you in the habit at least of thinking deeply. Not necessarily these, but get one or two of your own. Where are you most vulnerable? Where would you like to see God strengthen your own life? And pick up one or two of your own and begin to think in terms of, I want this in my life daily. I want to get it in there so I don't have to think about it anymore. It'll be just a natural thing for me to do, to be honest. I don't even have to think about whether I should cheat, you know, or be impure, or let my tongue run on me. I don't have to think about it. It's just a natural thing for me to do. It's a habit of my life. And I believe all of us want to have an honest character, and a character of purity and a character of humility. And surely we don't want to be people just wagging their tongue all the time and hurting people, criticizing and judging and all kinds of things like that. Is that right? And so much for that. Now that's pretty much the lesson on the hand of grasping the Bible. I don't think I've got any more to say about that. I'm going to pick it up a little bit with an illustration when we start on Monday, and probably enhance it a little bit more. But turn over, if you will, to the next page 6, and I'll just introduce it, and we'll stop. It'll be time to quit. Grasping God's hand. I came up with this idea 1941 when I went into service. I was out of the oil fields. I was not very intelligent spiritually at all. I had wasted so many years of my life, but God had something in mind for me, so He put me in a service. Away from home, away from my old habits and old gang, and introduced me to a brand new gang of Christians with a discipline. And I told you about the daily guide my brother gave me, and it had a verse a day in it, and a thought a day, and a prayer a day. And one of the first, within probably 2 weeks of my going through these verses, I don't know, for some reason, Daniel in it, I started memorizing these. I don't know why. I started memorizing them. I thank God I did, because they were really in there then to help me. But I came to this verse in Psalms. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truths and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truths and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And I got in the habit of doing something that I do to this day. That's 41 years ago. I figuratively, at the start of the day, would put my hand in God's hand. There's so much in the Bible that talks about the hand of God. And the hand of the Lord was with him, and a great many believed and turned unto the Lord. The verse, Doris, that you read, I will hold you with my what? Right hand of my righteousness. And David said in the Psalm 139, whither can I go to escape from thee? If I go to the uttermost part of the earth, even there thy right hand holds me up. Many times it's the right hand. When you talk about the hand, say that Mark had a hand in it. Yoko had a hand in it. Frederick had a hand in it. Ellen had a hand in it. Doris had a hand in it. David had a hand in it. Daniel had a hand in it. William had a hand in it. And that leads me down to Roger then. Had a hand in it. What does it mean? What does that mean? It means a hand had a part in it, doesn't it? Don't you want God's hand to be on your life every day of your life? I figuratively got in the habit of putting my hand in His. We used to sing, put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Remember? Put your hand in the hand of the man of Galilee. And for whatever it may be worth, for all these years, I start the day. There's something intimate about hand in hand. Lovers like to do it, don't they? Children like to do it with their parents for your security. But that's what we're going to get into Monday. A couple of good lessons on really bringing God down into our lives in an intimate way. So we might know more of His presence and more of His power and more of His blessing in our life. Any questions for the weekend? Well, I believe you can shut it off then, David. You might help me. I'm going to go down to the church on Sunday. It is.
What's his name? Calvis something. The church downtown, American church. Calvis Mackey.
It's in the Hague.
I'm going there tomorrow to speak briefly at two services. And the service is on, it's really Commitment Sunday for tithing. And he's asked me to come down and take 10 minutes and talk on heart commitment. Heart commitment. And I've talked to him a couple of times and I'm still not quite sure what he wants me to do. He wants me to, I guess, challenge him about giving, but I could give him a lot of verses on giving, but he's talking about heart commitment.